Well, good morning, True North. I have no idea why I just shadow boxed you. Maybe it's because I'm just super excited to be bringing Jesus into your living room this morning. Or maybe, you know what, maybe it's your kitchen. Or hey, might even be your baño. That's bathroom in Spanish. See, you're already learning something with us here today at True North Church Online. Hey, listen, if you're in your bathroom, your kitchen, your living room, no judgment. It's 2020. I get it. But at the end of the day, we're just so excited that you're joining with us this morning, because we're going to look at God's word today, and nothing gets us more excited around here than hearing from God, allowing his truth to infiltrate our life. And that's what we're going to do this morning. And so as we get started, I want to ask you a question. Would you consider yourself a risk taker, or are you somebody who plays it safe? Now, me, I am the exact opposite of a risk taker. I'm the guy who looks at every single situation and sees the danger. Like, if you look in the encyclopedia under plays it safe guy, right there, big picture of me. Like, for instance, for me, doing something risky behavior is not washing my grapes when I bring them home from the grocery store before I eat them. Or if I really want to live on the edge, if I really want to live dangerously, I let my gas tank go below a quarter of a tank before I fill it up. Woo! I know. Let's get crazy, right? You know, about 15 years ago, I went on this trip to Colorado. It was actually a class trip that was a part of my youth ministry undergrad. It was called Youth Ministry in the Wilderness. Talk about the coolest college class you have ever heard of. And what we did was we went out to Colorado and we hiked up into the wilderness and we did all these really cool outdoorsy type things. And one of the places that we went to was called the Garden of the Gods, located near Colorado Springs. And in this Garden of the Gods, there's all these really cool, like, rock faces and cliff faces. And we decided that we were going to go climbing in the Garden of the Gods. And so we showed up. There were like 6 or 8 of us that were in this class. And we get there, and the instructor begins to go over the equipment that we were going to use to climb up this cliff face. And we're talking, like, now it's at least 100 feet up there. I mean, it was a big cliff. And so he shows us the little harness and the carabiner and the little, like, dubin, that's the technical term, I think, that goes into the side of the mountain that kind of locks in there and holds all the ropes and everything in place. And as he was talking, I could just feel my palms getting sweaty. I could feel my blood pressure beginning to rise and some anxiety and some fear beginning to set in, because for me, heights, I don't do heights. Like, I don't even like going on a 6-foot ladder without somebody steadying it. And so looking at that cliff face and thinking about climbing all the way to the top of it was freaking me out. And so a couple of my friends, they went before me, and it was finally my turn. And so I strapped in, you know, pulled that harness up, locked it in, hooked that carabiner in, and I began to climb up this cliff face. And I got 5 feet up, and it was like, okay, you know what? This isn't so bad. Got about 10 feet up, started to get a little more nervous. And by the time I hit about 15 feet, I was paralyzed. I could not go any further up. And it wasn't because I couldn't reach the next handhold or foothold. It was because of fear. And in that moment, I had two choices. Justin, you can keep going and you can push through this and you can have courage in this moment, or you can let your fear force you to go back down. And I would love to tell you that in that moment I conquered my fear, but that is not the story that I'm telling this morning. Because what I did was I turned around and I made the climb back down. And I'll never forget the feeling when I got back to the ground, of just like humiliation, knowing that everybody else had done it. Like, everybody else climbed this thing but me. And I'll never forget that feeling of looking up at the top of the cliff and seeing my friends up there sitting up on top of this thing, looking over the entire park, and the look of just joy and excitement on their face, and the look on their faces, they rappelled down that cliff, and I missed out. I missed out on that feeling. I missed out on that experience. Why? For one reason and one reason only. Because of fear, and because I did not have the faith in the equipment that we were using. And because I did not have faith in that equipment, it caused me to not to miss out on that experience. You see, what's crazy about all that equipment is that the guide actually told us before we started making that climb that again, little Dubin, I don't know exactly what it's called, but that thing could actually hold an elephant. Like, it is so strong that there's no possible way a skinny dude like me, if I had fallen, that that rope wasn't gonna hold me. Dude, I mean, look at me. Back then, I was even skinnier than I am now. Back in the day, I could have hid behind a fishing pole playing hide and seek, if you know what I'm saying, right? I was so skinny. There's no way in the world that I would have fallen all the way to the ground. That rope would have caught me. And yet I did not do it. Why? Because I did not have faith in the equipment. And so today, I don't think I'm the only one. As I look back on my life, I have missed out on so many experiences through my life. Why? Because I was simply afraid that I did not have the faith to go on the adventure. And maybe you found yourself in some situations like that in the past, throughout your life. Maybe you found yourself in some situations where you were afraid and you didn't have faith, and so you never went on the adventure. You know, most of us, let's be honest, we don't like taking risks, do we? We don't like taking risks. We want to play it safe, don't we? We want to play it safe. We want to live a comfortable life. But here's what I'm learning. It's not just our physical lives where this is so evident. Our spiritual lives too. We don't want to take risks in our spiritual life. And what I'm learning and what Jesus has been teaching me is that we are only able to truly go on this adventure and truly live the life that God wants us to live when we are willing to step out in faith. And what Jesus wants for us is he wants us to go on that adventure. He calls us not to a safe life, but to a life of faith. Right? He does not call us to safe. He calls us to faith. He wants to take us on the adventure of a lifetime. And yet, here's the challenge. So many of us, we don't want to do that. Why? Because we're afraid and because we're scared. And what I've learned throughout my life and throughout the experiences where I've failed at this is that the greatest blessings that Jesus has to offer come not when we play it safe, but when we live in faith. And yet, so many of us, I believe this, we've never experienced that. We've never experienced Jesus' greatest blessings in our life. Why? Because we have been unwilling to have faith. Because we have played it safe. And so this morning, I want to talk about this a little bit. I want to talk about this word faith and what it really means. We've been in a series over the last several weeks called Drop the Mic, where we've been looking at some moments and some situations in the life of Jesus where he drops the mic on some people. And it's always this like moment, this jaw-dropping moment where it leaves people speechless and where he teaches us something different about the kingdom of God and about who God really is. And we're gonna look at another one of those moments today. See, the reality is that faith is hard, isn't it? I don't know about you, but sometimes it's so hard to have faith. Depending on the circumstance and the situation, depending on where my heart is in that moment, it can be really difficult. And I know that there's some people who might be listening right now, and you might be in a situation right now where you're having a difficult time having faith. And maybe you're listening right now, and you've heard the gospel before, you've heard about this guy Jesus before, but you have been unwilling to put your faith in him. And what I want to do today is I want to look at a moment that maybe will encourage us and challenge us to do just that. Some of us maybe for the first time in our life. And so we're going to be in the book of Mark today. We're going to be starting in chapter 2 and verse 1. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn there with us this morning. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. Mark is the second of the four gospels found in the New Testament. These gospels chronicle the life and the ministry of Jesus. And I believe this account, this story that we're going to read this morning has so much to teach us about faith. So let's go ahead and let's dive in. This is what it says in Mark 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. And so it begins by telling us that Jesus has returned to his home region of Capernaum, right? And Jesus, for the last year or so, has been out doing ministry. He had left his home, he'd went out and gathered his disciples, and he was performing these miracles. He was teaching people, discipling people, and the word has gotten out about Jesus. And he decides to make a trip home to do some teaching in his hometown. And when people find out about this, they start talking and they're like, listen, we gotta go see Jesus. We gotta go check out this dude that we have heard so much about. He's from our hometown. He's basically a celebrity at this point. And so people are crowding around and they're looking to hear from Jesus. Dude, did you hear Jesus is in town? You mean like Joseph's kid, the carpenter's kid? Yeah. Did you hear he walked on water, right? Can you just imagine the conversations that were going on as they were hearing about him coming to their town? And so Jesus shows up. He goes to this house. We don't know exactly whose house it is, but it says that it is packed out. There are so many people there. The entire house is filled, and all around the outside, even out the door, it is so packed. It's packed tighter than a hipster in skinny jeans, if you know what I'm saying. And it says now that Jesus goes and he begins to teach the word to the people that were there. And this is what happens next. It says, some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. And so you've got this packed out house, crowded outside the house. Jesus is teaching, and you've got these five guys who have heard about Jesus as well. And they've got a friend. We'll call him Jimmy, just because I don't want to call him the paralyzed guy for the rest of the story, right? And so their friend Jimmy, he's been paralyzed his entire life, and they decide, we got to do something. We have heard that Jesus can heal people. He's our friend. What if we get him to Jesus? We believe with everything in us that Jesus can heal this guy. And so they get Jimmy, they put him on this mat with some ropes on each corner, and they pick up those ropes and they carry him into the house. And when they get there, I imagine inside of them, their hearts must have just sunk as they saw the scene. Because when they got there, they realized immediately, there is no way possible that we are ever going to be able to get Jimmy in to see Jesus. And if we can't do that, he can't be healed. And so I imagine this big argument taking place between the four guys, these four friends that were trying to get their buddy Jimmy into Jesus, right? You imagine one or two of them are probably the play it safe guys, and immediately they're like, guys, this isn't happening. Like, there's no way we're getting him in there. Let's just turn around and go home. It was a nice effort, but we're done here. And I imagine that the risk taker in the group or the risk takers in the group, they're like, no way. Come on, guys. Like, we came all this way. There has to be a way to get him in to Jesus. And at this point, again, the conversation continues. Well, what do you want us to do here, man? Like, how are we supposed to get through this crowd? What, do you want us to go on the roof? Like, dig a hole in the roof and drop him through the roof? That's a great idea, right? Can you just imagine this conversation going on between these guys? Yes, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to get him on the roof. We're going to dig a hole and we're going to drop him through. And again, the play it safe guy's like, no, you, what are you, crazy? Like, he could be hurt. Somebody could get hurt. Jimmy could get hurt while we're lowering. What if the ropes break? And if I'm the risk taker guy, I'm like, dude, he's already paralyzed. What's the, like, there's no risk here. Like, let's do this thing. And that's exactly what they did. They climbed up on the roof. They hoisted him up there. You know, all probably 150 pounds of him or however much he weighed, got him on the roof, dug this hole in this mud dirt roof, and lowered him down to the feet of Jesus. I love this. What an incredibly risky thing to do. And yet we're going to find out in a moment exactly how that was rewarded. Because this is what it says next. It says that when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, at this point in the story, if I'm these five guys and if I'm the people in the crowd, I'm a little bit surprised by this response. Because if I'm these five guys, I did not come all the way to this house climb up on the roof, dig through the roof, and drop this guy down to the floor to hear Jesus say, "Your sins are forgiven." That's not what we came here for, Jesus. What we came here for was for you to heal our friend, to make him walk again. That's why we're here. And so you have to imagine, again, these four guys, they're probably looking down through the roof at what's going on here. Jimmy's looking up at Jesus, and they're frustrated. Like, come on, man, really? Like, anybody can say, "Your sins are forgiven." I could have went to any random person in this crowd, and they could have said that to me. But they weren't the only ones in this moment who were frustrated. You see, there were some teachers of the law, they call them, Pharisees, who we've been looking at for the last several weeks, and they were there watching Jesus, checking out his every move, because they wanted to trap him. They wanted to condemn him. They wanted to get rid of him. And so they're looking for every possible thing they can use to build a case against Jesus. And when they hear him say this, "Son, your sins are forgiven," something begins to grumble in their heart. They don't like this. This doesn't sit well with them. This is what it says happened. It says, "Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, 'Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" And it says immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things?" And so the Pharisees, they're frustrated in a different way. They're frustrated because Jesus is claiming to be God. Only God can forgive sins, and he is saying that I can forgive this man's sin. And this would have been shocking. This would have been a revelation to everybody who was listening or watching. Jesus claiming that he was God himself. And so you've got two very exasperated groups of people in this moment. The five guys who are frustrated that Jesus did not heal their friend, and these Pharisees who are frustrated because Jesus is claiming to be God, that he has the power to forgive sins. And really, this is all just a setup. Jesus is setting everybody up for this mic drop moment to prove an incredibly powerful point here, not just about faith, but about who he is and who we should have faith in. This is what it says next. Jesus says to them, "Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And so he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And so he got up, he took his mat, and he walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." You see, Jesus is trying to make a point here, a very critical point for both the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, everybody else who is in that room, and these five guys. Jesus is saying this: "I want to do something incredible in your life. I want to forgive you of your sins. I do want to bring healing to your life, to your spirit, and sometimes to your body. I want you to recognize in this moment, though, that the only way that happens is through faith. It's through faith. You see, what must come first is faith. The only way that we are able to truly reap the rewards of what Jesus wants to do in our life, both from a spiritual perspective and anything else in our life, is that faith must come first. And the reality is this, is that the Pharisees, they wanted the sign before they had faith. And the five guys, they had faith before the sign. There is so much here that we can learn about faith, so much here that we can unpack. And I want to look at just a few of these things this morning, because I believe this could completely change the way you look at faith and the level of faith that you have in Jesus and in your Heavenly Father. And so number one, what Jesus is teaching these guys here and what these guys can teach us is that faith is never safe. Faith is not safe, right? The Pharisees wanted it to be safe, but these guys understood that faith is not safe. In order to get to Jesus, they had to do something risky, didn't they? They had to climb up on that roof. They had to dig a hole. They had to lower their friend down. It was a huge, huge risk. And yet it was that risk that led to a great reward. You see, we want safe faith, don't we? You want safe faith. I want safe faith. I want to know before I try that Jesus is going to come through for me. But that is not how faith works. Not at all. If you're looking for a safe faith, it doesn't exist. There's no such thing. Faith always requires you to live a little bit dangerously. See, this is how we want faith to work. We want God to come through for us, and then we will have faith. But Jesus looks at us and says, no, 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 no. That's not how it works. I want you to have faith in me, and then I will come through for you. That is the secret. That is the answer to a life of fulfillment and peace and purpose. It is faith. See, the major difference between the Pharisees and these five guys, these five friends, is that the Pharisees wanted a sign first, but these five guys understood something, that it was in their faith that Jesus was going to heal. It was in their faith that Jesus was going to forgive them of their sins. And this is the point that Jesus is trying to make to everybody in the room. What I'm after in your life, maybe more than anything else, is I'm after faith, because in faith I can pour out the greatest blessing in your life. Faith is never safe, and faith is never easy. It's not easy. And I think for many of us, the reason that we haven't had faith is because we've wanted it to be easy, but it's not. It's the complete opposite of easy. Faith is a challenge. It requires persistence. It requires perseverance and courage. Going up on that roof, that was a huge, huge challenge. To lift this heavy, paralyzed man who could not help himself, to get him on the roof and to get him through that hole, dig that hole and get him through that hole, it was a challenge. It was not easy. And if we're looking for easy faith, it does not exist. I have seen this over and over again in my life, and I know that some of you have as well. In order to have faith, sometimes we have to do some really difficult and hard things. We have to make some hard decisions. But this is what I want you to hear this morning. Faith is always rewarded. Faith is never safe, and faith is never easy, but faith is always, always, always rewarded. Jesus does his greatest work in and through us. By faith, right? Going up on that roof was super risky. There's no doubt about it. It was really difficult. It was not easy. But the reward that came out of that risk was beyond anything that they could have possibly imagined. He was healed, right? The reward for his faith was that he ended up being healed by Jesus. In that moment, what an incredible reward to be able to walk out of that house for the first time, probably in his life. And I would say that every one of them would say they would do it over and over again just for the chance to have that reward. But you know, I also want you to hear this, that oftentimes our faith leads to rewards that we did not expect, right? Faith often leads to rewards that we did not expect. What happened when they first lowered Jimmy into the house? Was he healed of his paralysis? No. The first thing that Jesus did was he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." It was not what they expected to hear. What they expected to hear was, "Get up and walk, take your mat and leave this place," right? But Jesus gave them a different reward than they were expecting. But it was a better reward. You see, we are so fixated on the physical world. We're so fixated on our bodies and our health. But what Jesus cares about more than anything is our spirit. Our spirit is the thing that's going to live on forever and ever in eternity. Jesus wants our spirit to be healed more than anything, because our body is temporary, but our spirit is forever. And so he gives this man a greater reward than walking. It might not seem like it in the moment, but he gives him a far greater reward than healing him of his paralysis. And I think sometimes in our lives, when we put our faith in Jesus, we actually get rewards that we never expected, maybe that we didn't even hope for, but I promise you that they are better. Faith in Jesus leads to better rewards than we can imagine. But I also think it's important to remember this, is that sometimes our faith is rewarded later than we expect, later than we want it to. Again, when Jimmy was lowered down into that house, Jesus didn't heal him of his paralysis right away. And can you imagine in that moment if those five guys would have just decided, you know what, I'm dropping down there, we're picking up Jimmy off of that mat, and we're getting out of here. Because they were frustrated that Jesus did not come through the way that they thought he was going to come through. In that moment, they could have easily thought, well, we tried. You know, we took the risk. We had faith that Jesus would heal him, but he didn't do it. But they didn't do that, did they? No, they waited and they watched and they listened. And eventually what happened is that Jesus healed their friends. It wasn't when they expected it. They had to wait a little bit, but eventually the reward came. And again, I think so many times in our lives, we put our faith in Jesus, we put our faith in God, and the reward doesn't come right away. And so we give up and we walk away. But I want to encourage you this morning not to do that. That the reward for your faith will come. It may not always come in the exact form that you want it to come in, but it will come. And I promise you this, that it will come in the form of spiritual healing, no matter what. And so there's one more thing. Not only is faith never easy, faith is never safe, faith is always rewarded, but faith leads to the greatest adventure. It does. Can you imagine the story that this guy had to tell, that these guys had to tell as they went throughout the rest of their life? Like, I imagine them sitting around and, you know, watching the chariot races on a Saturday afternoon and just kibitzing about this moment. Like, do you remember that time that we took Jimmy over to that house and Jesus was there and it was packed out and then we dropped him through the roof and Jesus healed him? Like, can you remember that day? What a great day. What an amazing day. And to this day, I still have faith in Jesus because I took that step of faith, right? It led them on this incredible adventure. It gave them this incredible story to tell that they probably went and told tons of people about. Everybody that they met, they were probably telling this story. And the truth is that 2,000 years later, we're still talking about this story. Like, it made it into scripture. The faith of these five guys lived on, that adventure that they took, and it's still encouraging us and it's still challenging us today. And I often wonder, like for you and for me, what stories have we missed out on? What stories are we not telling now because we didn't have the faith in Jesus and in our Heavenly Father to go on the adventure? What stories in our lives did we miss out on? Did we miss the opportunity to have because we didn't have faith? You know, there's so many in my life. I already told you one at the beginning of this little talk. But there have also been some times in my life where I have stepped out in faith. And God has taken me on an adventure. The summer before my senior year of college, what would have been my senior year of college, I was doing an internship. I was a business undergrad. And I just felt this overwhelming sense of like, Justin, you're not supposed to do this. You're supposed to go into ministry. And so I was terrified. I was deathly afraid. I didn't want to do it. Tears were flowing. And yet I did. In that moment, I decided, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow what God wants for me. And so I went to Eastern University and I got my undergrad in youth ministry. And it was one of the best decisions that I ever made. And it took me on this incredible adventure and taught me so many things. My relationship with the Lord grew in ways that I never would have grown if I hadn't taken that step of faith. I made friendships that I still have today. It was an incredible thing. Because I was willing to step out in faith, God blessed me and he did some amazing things through that. 9 years ago, I got a phone call. I was working at a church in Harrisburg, and I got a phone call to come out to be the youth pastor at a church here in Pittsburgh. And I was terrified again, and I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to leave the safety and the comfort of my home and my job and everything that I knew and my family. They were all of that. And yet something inside of me said, no, Justin, you need to go. You need to take this step of faith and trust that this is where I'm leading you. And I did, and it was, again, one of the best decisions that I ever made. I ended up learning so much, ended up at this phenomenal church and making so many friendships out of that. And then just a year ago, God called me again. He said, Justin, you're gonna plant a church here in Pittsburgh. It's gonna be called True North Church. And I need you to step out in faith. I need you to move beyond your comfort zone, move beyond the safety of what you know. But I'm gonna bless you. I'm gonna do something great through that. And he has. Once again, it has been one of the greatest joys of my life to plant this church with Autumn, to meet new people that have come alongside of us and taken this journey with us, and to watch what God has done, the way he has blessed me and the way that he is blessing others. Why? Through a simple step of faith. And so here's what I want to challenge you to do this morning. One simple thing. Would you stop playing it safe? And would you start living by faith? Would you stop playing it safe and would you start living by faith? Because you can live by faith or you can play it safe. But you can't do both. That's not how it works. These five friends, they didn't play it safe. They didn't want to play it safe. They wanted to take the risk because to them, the risk was worth the reward. And so can I ask you this question this morning? And this is going to be a difficult question. And it's going to cause you to have to search your heart a little bit and really dig deep down inside and do a true assessment of where you are and who you are. But when was the last time you did something that required true, this is risky, this is crazy faith? When was the last time you did that? See, I think some of us, we've never given Jesus a chance to prove himself to us because we've never really put our faith and trust in him. Even those of us who call ourselves Jesus followers, we've never really put our faith in him. Maybe we took that first step to say, okay, Jesus, I want you to forgive me of my sin. But beyond that, we're not really living in faith. And for me, here's what I want. Here's what I want from my life. I want more moments in my life where I'm able to look back and say, I have never seen anything like this. Just like those people in that crowded house, when Jimmy got up and walked out of that house for the first time, they looked at that situation and they said, we have never seen anything like that. I want more moments like that in my life. And I want more moments like that for you, where God shows up because of your faith and does something miraculous in your life, takes care of situations in your life that you never thought would be possible. That's what I want for you. I want those moments to become normal in your life. Those moments of faith, stepping out in faith like that, to become totally and completely normal. See, here's the thing about faith. And if you've heard nothing else that I've said this morning, I think this is maybe the most important thing that you can hear. Our faith, some of us, has never grown, has never increased, because we have never tested our faith. We have never tested our God. And this is the truth this morning. Faith can only grow. Faith can only increase when it is tested. That's it. That's the only way that your faith can grow. And so for many of us, our faith has never grown because we have never tested it. We have wanted God to show up first and then we'll have faith. But that's not how faith grows. Faith grows by putting our faith to the test and then watching the result, watching how God shows up and comes through. That is what builds faith. And so here's my final question for you this morning. What step of faith do you need to take right now where you have been playing it safe? What step of faith do you need to take right now where you've been playing it safe, where you know that you should have stepped out, where you know that you should have trusted, but you just haven't been able to do it? Because here's what I want for you. I want your faith to be increased. I want your faith to go through the roof. I want to pop the top off of your faith, so to speak. And that's what Jesus wants for you. Because he is a good God and he wants to bless you. He wants to give you all of the rewards that he has planned for you. But it starts with faith. Maybe for you, it's in your career. Maybe you have known for years that you were supposed to move on from what you were doing. Maybe you missed opportunities already, but maybe there's a new opportunity for you to take a step of faith and go into a new career where you know God wants to use you, but you've been scared. You've been playing it safe. Would you stop playing it safe and would you live by faith? Maybe for someone else, it's a relationship. Maybe it's a relationship that you've been in for a while now and you've known that you should, you know, like put a ring on it. You know that you should take that step of faith and commitment and you just haven't been able to do it because you're afraid because you've been playing it safe. Would you stop playing it safe and start living by faith? Maybe it's a relationship that you know needs to end and you haven't had the courage to do it. Remember, faith is never easy. Faith is never safe, but faith always is rewarded. Maybe for you, it's in your finances. Maybe God has been calling you to begin giving to something and you've known that you should be doing it and you've heard God say, take that step of faith, but in your mind, you've thought, no, you know what, God, bless me first, give me more, and then I'll begin to give. It doesn't work that way. He challenges us to put our faith and test him, trust him, and then he will give us the rewards. Maybe it's something to do with this whole COVID-19 virus. Maybe there's people in your life that need help right now, that you know God has been calling you to step out in faith and to trust him at risk to your own health, at risk to your own life, but you know that's what God has called you to. Would you begin to start living by faith and stop playing it safe? Maybe for you today, it's simply this, that for all this time, you've been hearing about Jesus. You've been hearing that he died for your sin, that he paid the penalty on the cross when he died and rose again to give you a new life. But no matter how hard you try, you just can't put your faith in that. I want to encourage you today to make that decision, to test it. Because here's the truth. Until you test it, until you put your faith in him, you will never know how much better your life could be with Jesus than without. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants a better life for you. And it all starts with faith. It starts with faith. And so today, maybe today is the day that you begin to live by faith and stop playing it safe. Maybe today is the day that you begin to put your faith and your trust in Christ alone as your Lord and Savior. And if you'll do that, I promise you this, he will start to make your life better. As you follow him, as you study his teachings, as you speak to him on a regular basis and build a relationship with him, he will give you more peace and more purpose and more fulfillment in your life than you have ever experienced. And if you are a Jesus follower today, I want to challenge you and encourage you. Begin to live by faith more and more. Start testing him more and more. And as you test him more, I promise you this, he will pour out more blessing and he will pour out more reward. That's my hope and my encouragement for us as a church and for anybody who might be listening, that we would be a people of faith, crazy, kind of ridiculous, audacious faith that doesn't necessarily always make a lot of sense. But as we test God in that way, I know this, he will come through and we will see tremendous blessing like we have never seen before.